Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Remember when USA Network's motto was characters welcome? This Wednesday, USA welcomes back one of its most complex characters ever, Harry Ambrose, played by Bill Pullman, in season 4 of The Sinner. Executive producer and showrunner Derek Simons joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Music video channels abound over Audidio, its adventure distributed through Smart TV products. You'll hear founder and chief executive Nick Sharp later this hour. Also ahead, 2 out of 3 super bad for CBS. PBS takes on Jules Verne and our new classic trivia winner, question and prize. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live this Columbus Day 2021 from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present on the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, Vogel, Reason, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcasts. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of spoken audio entertainment information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book or two when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More details later in our program. Wherever you're at this C-Day 2021, we welcome you to the program All About TV's Current and Future. We thank you for spending some of your Columbus Day with us. 70 degrees at the top of the hour. Two wonderful guests coming away in the 60 minutes ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. It's so simple. Give us a call. All you do is pick up the phone, raise your voice, and use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anyway. You're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker, TuneIn Radio. For some reason, our chat room is not operational today. We apologize for that. Hopefully, we'll have it back for you on our next episode Friday afternoon. So the only way you get involved with us, use the phone, a great way to be interactive. And while the program is on the air, you can connect others by using Facebook Timeline. Click on the Facebook icon, your Blog Talk Radio speaker, tune in screen. Follow the instructions. Other people will be live with you. And the person behind The Sinner on USA Network, Derek Simons, live with me here in the Big Apple after these news notes. CBS wins the prize for quickest full-season green lights of rookie series on the broadcast networks. 2 of the 3 newbies CBS premiered the first few weeks of this 2021-22 season, NCIS Hawaii and FBI International, have those green lights. Ghost, which started last Thursday, placed second in its time period. Incidentally, we had the executive producer of NCIS Hawaii on this program a couple of weeks ago. Long-running PBS miniseries anthology Masterpiece will make a rare excursion to fantasy classic next year or 2023. Masterpiece will co-produce a new adaptation of the iconic Jules Verne adventure Around the World in 80 Days. David Tennant will play Phineas Fogg, which David Niven portrayed in the Oscar-winning 1950s movie version. Fogg's valet, Passepartout, will be played by Ibrahim Koma. Now some quickies. The CW's Legend of the Hidden Temple revival, a subject of this program last Friday, attracted just 282,000 viewers for its premiere last night. Season 2 of teenage spy saga Alex Rider begins December 3rd on IMDb TV. Emmy nominee Emma Corrin has lined up her next TV role. The Crown co-star will be amateur gumshoe Darby Hart in Retreat, an FX miniseries put together by the OA's creators. Incidentally, Corrin is also working on a Lady Chatterley's Lover series for Netflix and also another TV project as well. TCL's new smart TV sets with Google TV as the operating system are now on sale at Best Buy stores nationwide. Other retailers are expected to offer TCL's new smart models soon. And the last hour, Netflix declared it will not stop running The Closer, Dave Chappelle's latest stand-up performance, whose subject matter has generated controversy in some communities. And that is news notes for today. And now joining me live here in New York, the executive producer and the showrunner of the 4th season of The Sinner, the popular USA Network miniseries that begins this Wednesday night, we welcome into the program Derek Simons. Derek, thank you for joining us on this C-Day. And I believe we will get him momentarily. So bear with us, folks. He is on board, and we should get him any second, as I see on the computer screen. So hold on board. And just to let you know, The Sinner will be premiering its 4th season with Bill Pullman Lee back as Harry Ambrose. That's on Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time. That's 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on USA Network, which also is going to be simulcasting the new Chucky series that premieres Tuesday night, one night before. I believe it will be running on USA at 10 p.m. Eastern Time after NXT 2.0, which is a two-hour show. And again, I apologize. Derek is on the other end of the line. For some reason, he is not We're not clicking in, so stand by. We will get him. And as soon as we do, we will have him on board. So while we were waiting for Derek, and again, I apologize that we are having this issue here. I want to let you know that coming up Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will have the owner of a new production company that's out to make its mark in TV programming. The company is called Bandit, and it already has a couple of interesting projects on board, TV projects, one of them involving the Indy race car winner, Helio Castaneves, and Dancing with the Stars winner as well, and another production as well. The company, again, is called Bandit Productions, and we will have the founder and executive officer, Bob Sullivan, will join us. That's coming up on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. So I hope you tune in for that. Again, that's Friday at our regular time, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Again, we are having a bit of an issue connecting with Derek Simon. I know he joked him just before we went on the air. He is aboard here in New York. And I'll tell you what, if we don't get him like the next 30 seconds, I'm going to ask Derek and Nicole Weiner, who is the USA Network publicist that arranged our interview today, to call back at 646-652-2906, and we'll get him hooked up. So we apologize again for this. If we do not get him on in the next few seconds. All right, for some reason he has dropped off. Derek, call back, 646-652-2906, and as soon as I see you're on the screen, we'll punch you right up. And in the meantime, while we wait for Derek, I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's do our classic trivia segment. We have a lot of things to get into. We'll get into as much as we can while we wait for Derek to pop up. First of all, we have a winner for the first time in several weeks in our classic trivia segment, and it's Barry Kluger from Scottsdale, Arizona. Barry, congratulations. Three prizes are coming your way, one being the Star is Special, A Hollywood Christmas, narrated by James Seymour. Also, that I Love Lucy Nixon and Magnet set that we've been offering for the last few weeks. And the new Nailed In cookbook from Netflix. Nailed In, of course, the popular Netflix competition series, just nominated for an Emmy Award a few weeks back. And all three of those prizes will be coming your way. The answer to the question we posed the last week on our show was this. What was the name of the 1960s legal drama starring Emmy winner Carl Betz? The answer was Judge for the Defense. We'll have more about the classic trivia questions in our second half hour. Right now, joining us tonight, finally, is the executive producer and showrunner of the Center on USA Network, Derek Simon. Derek, welcome in.
Hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes, you are coming through loud and clear. And again, I apologize for the connection glitch that we had over the last minute or two. Derek, the Center
no
was
worries.
Originally a one-shot a number of years ago. Can you believe that now you're on season four? What do you think has made it so popular?
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I mean, it's certainly not something that I expected. It's been a real privilege and a pleasure to continue the Ambrose storyline through these cases. I don't know. I think people respond to the show in different ways. One thing that I like to think has made it successful is just the deep dive into character psychology and what makes people tick, and then also just looking at those gray areas of morality and good and bad, or sinners and saints, you know, that people are much more complicated than we might initially think they are. So I think people respond to that, and then also the investigation into the why behind a crime, the motive. It's not a show where, you know, you're waiting for the serial killer to be caught. You're watching the serial killer the whole time, wondering why he or she does what they do.
And in the very first season, we all remember that you, in the first few minutes, you do see the crime. You do see the killer make their move. It was played by Jessica Biel, who was, of course, one of the executive producers as well, and one of the people that got the series on the air on USA in the first place, and still involved, by the way, as an executive producer. And again, it seems that, as you mentioned, it's the complexity of the characters and the fact that you know the crime is happening, but you're trying to understand not only why it took place, but what's in the people's minds. What's in that serial killer's mind that provoked this?
Yeah, I mean, I think, the Sinner certainly, you know, it's plot-driven. There's lots of twists and turns, but I think the mystery is always what's lying inside the character. So, you know, season one was a classic example, and I think we've explored this idea in every season, but every season explores these onion layers to the character, and one gets peeled back, and suddenly you see the person in a different light, and then that layer gets peeled back, and our perspective on the person is continually changing. And I think that's just something that the show has, like, focused on. So we spend a lot of our screen time investigating in that direction versus other directions that other shows go in.
I mentioned at the top, Derek, that a number of years ago, USA had the very popular motto, characters welcome. And it's interesting that The Sinner, season four, is one of the first USA Network original series that is now adopting sort of the comeback of that motto, now known as Here for the Characters, because you certainly have an amazing character and an amazing character actor in Bo Pluma.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, you know, working with Bill on this part. You know, the first season of The Sinner was based on a book by Petra Hamasfar, a German writer. And, you know, we took the bones of that story and kind of built it in a direction that I was interested in. And one of those directions was the Ambrose character, who did not really exist in the book. There was an investigator, but he wasn't he wasn't a character who was at the forefront of her story in the book. And when we got the show on the air, you know, part of the whole pitch for me was it being a two-hander and it being about this relationship between the detective and this criminal or suspect. Mm-hmm. And so we spent a lot of time developing that character and creating his own complicated history. And yeah, and it's been really, really fun for me in an anthology show where there's a different case every season and the cast changes, that we do have this continuity of Bill Pullman's Ambrose connecting all of those. And I've really designed the show, you know, any given season, like this season four, I've always designed the show after the question, what would bring Ambrose further along in his personal story that traverses all of these seasons? You know, what would activate him now? What does he need to face in himself now at this point, having faced what he's already faced? So, you know, the show really is essentially a long character portrait of this man.
And at this point, this is the first time in the four seasons that we have Ambrose in a different light, because he's no longer on the force. He's retired. And he goes for what he thinks is a getaway with his partner, played, by the way, by Jessica Hecht. And then, boom, he gets in the middle of this tragedy on this island. And as it turns out, it's much more than being recruited to try to solve the tragedy. It's yet another piece of Ambrose's past comes back.
Yeah, you know, the events of season three, which was a season co-starring Matt Bomer and Chris Messina, but, you know, Matt Bomer played this character named Jamie Burns, who entered a very volatile and intimate relationship with Harry Ambrose, and that ended in tragedy, and it ended in a very particular violent act that Ambrose himself commits. And in season four, we find Ambrose haunted still by that act. He's already a guy who's been driven by guilt, as we've learned about his mother and his past, and the way he approaches relationships has been sort of damaging to his ex-wife and to his daughter. So he's already a man who's haunted by guilt, but the Jamie Burns incident has kind of, really multiplied that feeling of guilt. So this season really is about Ambrose having, you know, retired from the force, moved away from his work, partly out of this guilt, and then having to contend with it all when it gets kicked back up in his face. And as you said, you know, the sort of inciting incident of this season is what is more appears to be a tragedy than a crime, but that quickly unravels into a larger tapestry of crime that Ambrose finds himself in the middle of.
We're speaking with Derek Simons. He's the executive producer and showrunner of The Sinner, which goes into its fourth season on USA Network this Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Derek joins me here in New York on this Columbus Day 2021. We thank you for spending part of your holiday, if you're celebrating it with us, the program all about TV's current and future. Simon Apple will be live from New York. 70 degrees here in the Big Apple. If you have a question or comment for Derek, ring it in, 646-652-2906. And that's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere. Catch us the country around the globe. You're on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio. Again, coming your way Friday on the Marvy Televised, we'll introduce you to Bandit Productions. It's a new venture out to make its mark in TV programming, and one of the shows they're working on involves the Indianapolis 500 race car winner Helio Castroneves, and he's also a Dancing with the Stars champion too. Bob Sullivan is the chief executive officer and founder of Bandit. You'll meet him and hear what Bandit is up to, and it's a lot. Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. How do you bring not just the audience from the previous seasons in, but the new audience is coming in for the first time? How do you balance those two audiences and what they're looking for when you create a season four?
I mean, you know, getting new audiences in is really, you know, the network's job. I think the nice thing about an anthology show like The Sinner, where every season is its own freestanding story, is that a new viewer can just come in and watch season three and or season four as their first experience of the show and have a very full, you know, experience with the case of that year, all those new characters that they're meeting that year and watch it to its conclusion. So you don't have to watch the seasons in order. I think where watching them in order helps is when you get to experience Ambrose's journey and some of the callbacks to previous seasons, have more meaning. I think we're always thinking about defying expectations in the show. I mean, one thing that I'm personally proud of is that we haven't really settled on a formula that we repeat. The show and the writers that I work with, we're always trying to explore new territory. So I think the show continues to evolve while still feeling like the show. And so I think audiences know that they're going to experience something new versus a replay of what they've already seen. And then the other thing, I think, you know, aside from the deep dive into character is, you know, we do like to play with people's expectations and create assumptions with the plot and the clues that then get turned on their heads. And hopefully by the end of the season, you see as a viewer that all of these pieces actually make sense in the final version of the story. These aren't just sort of cheap twists that, you know, distract you or make you look in the wrong direction, but everything that's in the show, every clue, every turn makes logical sense when the full picture is put together and hopefully surprises people along the way.
In this season, Bill Pullman's character, Ambrose, is not going through this experience by himself. He's got a partner now, played, as I mentioned, by Jessica Heck. How does that dynamic shape up? How did the you and the writers and the directors deal with this?
Well, I think, you know, in season three is when the character of Sonia is introduced, and she's an integral part of that mystery and that plot. And we really enjoyed the chemistry between Bill and Jessica and between the two characters. And we felt it was ready. I was ready by season three to see Ambrose struggling with a new intimate relationship after the stuff that he's in himself that he's faced and processed. So I wanted to see him, instead of always shying away from relationships, to actually have to contend with a woman like Sonia, who's very candid, who's very emotionally communicative and very wise and mature, kind of give him a run for his money. He has to kind of show up or ship out. And so I think Sonia becomes, in season four, their relationship has continued, and they've kind of bonded through this trauma around Jamie Burns. They both kind of, they were both drawn in deeply by him emotionally. And that's another bonding piece between them. And in season four, Sonia has moved on. She's processed what happened. She's ready to move on in her life, and Ambrose is still stuck. And so both of them are contending with Ambrose's obsessive-compulsive need to right the world of wrong, to kind of compensate for his guilt. And that continually pulls him in some very dangerous directions. And so Sonia has to face in season four whether being in a relationship with Ambrose is actually worth it and possible.
Mm-hmm. In this season, there's a mix of characters and actors playing them that's quite interesting. And I'm pretty particularly interested in Frances Fisher's role. Frances, for those who don't know, is someone who has had an incredible track record of performances on television and film. Many moons ago, she made, I think, her TV debut as a co-star of The Edge of Night, my favorite daytime drama of all time, by the way. And some of you may know her as one of the key roles in Titanic. And I think she's been up for an Oscar or two for her roles. What was it like working with Frances, and what kind of character here does she play? Because she's had a gallery of great roles over the years.
Yeah, I mean, Frances is, first of all, the most lovely human being you've ever met, energetic and open to anything and really invested in the process of doing the work and connecting to castmates and crewmates. So it was a joy to work with her. She's really, really amazing person with a big heart. She's also incredibly versatile. If you look at her roles, she can play, you know, the fanciest upper crust woman like in Titanic to a very, working class character and do both very convincingly. So she's incredibly versatile. And in this show, in this season, she plays a woman named Meg Muldoon, who is the matriarch of this family that owns a lobstering business in northern Maine, on an island in northern Maine. And she's a very salty, strong, opinionated woman who's worked really, really hard to keep her family above water, literally and figuratively, and is very invested in her identity as a fisherwoman. And she's succeeded as the lobster woman in, you know, a very male-dominated world. And she's, you know, now in her late 60s, has this business and this legacy that she wants to pass on to her sons and to her granddaughter. And she'll do anything to keep that legacy alive, which leads her into some very sticky places in this season.
Mm-hmm. And among the newbies, the new actors or actresses that you worked with, were there any particular ones that we should watch out for, people you think, boy, keep your eye on this person because this is a breakout for him or her?
Oh, I mean, the entire cast is really, I was so fortunate. It's a larger cast than we usually have on this show. It's truly an ensemble, and everyone is really incredible. I say a specific shout out to a young actress named Alice Kremelberg, who plays the lead. Her face is on the poster. Her name is Percy Muldoon is her character's name. She's the granddaughter to Frances Fisher's Meg. And she is the character around whom the mystery rests. And it's her character that we're investigating throughout the season. And our opinions of her and what we know about what she's gone through continually change. So it's a really, really demanding role emotionally. It's a very dark role. And Alice, from her first audition, came out of nowhere. I was not familiar with her work, though she's had a track record so far. But I think she's a star, and she's incredibly talented. So I feel lucky to introduce her to a wider audience with this show.
Mm-hmm. How did the coronavirus pandemic impact how this season was put together and where you did it?
Yeah, well, we had to shoot in Canada this year for a variety of budgetary reasons. Normally we shoot in around New York City and double the five boroughs for upstate New York. And this year we knew we had to shoot in Canada, and as we started developing the story, it went in the direction of setting it in this seaside location. I was also getting a little fatigued by the upstate New York setting, I thought that the show could benefit from a change in setting to kind of give it some new life and some new juice. So once we settled on the seaside location and the story of the Muldoons, this fishing family, we started looking at, the maritime provinces and Nova Scotia in particular. So we ended up shooting what in the show is a fictional northern Maine island town in Nova Scotia, about an hour away from Halifax. And we were in this beautiful town called Lunenburg, a UNESCO heritage type town, old fishing town. And so the cast and crew, we all flew up and quarantined there together. And actually in New York, when things were opening up briefly in, May, June, July, we were actually in our own lockdown up in Nova Scotia because they had an outbreak of COVID. But we were tucked away in this small town and really had this great time, creating this thing together. It was, I have to say, very challenging in the sense that the COVID flare-ups and Canada's restrictions of travel made us being able to bring actors and directors in very, very difficult. And we had to recast some roles at the last minute with local actors who we might not have turned to or been aware of. And we found some great people locally. So that was kind of a happy accident. But there was definitely a lot of stress in not being able to bring in the people that we needed always and not being sure when these travel restrictions would change, and they would change weekly. And then there was also the usual onset COVID, precautions, constant testing, and a lot of precautions that keep you from being able to be nimble on set, changing days and the order of things scheduled. You wouldn't be able to do that because, for instance, the extras in one scene had to be tested 2 days before they appeared on set. And you couldn't suddenly change their scene to happen tomorrow or 4 days later. So there was a lot of things you were kind of boxed in by with COVID.
Before you go, what's been this whole experience, these four seasons? What has delighted you and Jessica the most about producing this? Because this was going to be a one-shot at the start. Having it go four seasons, but also how the audience has reacted season after season to these characters and these shifting mysteries?
Oh, I mean, it's been such a joy and a privilege to do it. It's also been exhausting and tons of pressure, just because every time we finish one season, the next question is, you're renewed, and what's the new story next season? Who are the new characters? Who are the new cast? So that's been an incredible challenge with this show versus a more serialized drama, is that we're kind of reinventing the show every season and also having to come to a satisfying ending at the end of every season. And that creatively has been incredibly freeing because I've been able to kind of turn my sights in different directions and tell different stories and explore different characters. And it's also been a lot of work, frankly, but, I couldn't be happier with the reception of the show. And, from season one, we were fortunate to be a hit show in season one, and that's kind of reverberated and helped us, stick out from the pack because there's so much TV out there for people to watch. And so it's been really gratifying to get support from fans who keep returning and also to feel a lot of love among our audiences for Ambrose, the character of Ambrose. People have really come to have a lot of affection for him and his quirks. And so I'm really proud that we were able to fashion this character, kind of out of thin air, and that people have responded to him as enthusiastically as they have.
Season 4 of U.S. Networks The Sinner begins this Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. And don't forget, tomorrow night, the premiere of Chucky, simulcast on both USA Network and Sci-Fi. Check your local listings for where USA Network and Sci-Fi are in your area on cable and satellite. For more details about the program and the network online, go to www.usanetwork.com. That's www.usnetwork.com. The Sinner, Season 4, starring Bo Pullman as Terrific Supporting Cast 2, Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern and Pacific Time. Derek Simons, Executive Producer and Showrunner, thank you again for joining us in this C-Day 2021. Congratulations on what you've accomplished so far, and hopefully another great season in store starting Wednesday for you, your cast, and crew.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Same here, Derek. Take care. All the greatest.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Derek Simons, executive producer and showrunner of The Sinner. That's Wednesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time on USA Network. When we come back, we turn to music video, a whole bunch of music video channels, and a venture carrying them all on smart TV sets and smart devices called Adidio. We've got Nick Sharp, the founder and chief executive. He is with us when we come back after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. This is www.blogtalkradio.com, speaker.com, and tune.com, together reaching over 60 million listeners around the world every month and growing. Check out Women Who Jam Radio tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. That's Women Who Jam Radio. It's women. It's a lot of great jam and a lot of fun. Women Who Jam Radio tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best be charged 24/7 at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second half of this Columbus Day 2020 edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Great to have you with us. Thanks for spending some of your holiday time with us. Simon Applebaum with you live from New Haven, York, 70 degrees at the top of the hour. We have another guest coming away in the half hour ahead. Also, our classic trivia question segment. We have a new winner, we have a new question, and we have a new prize. And we'll get to all of that before the top of the hour. And when we come back, we will have Nick Sharp from Audidio.com and Audidio, the new music video channels. That's channels. He'll be coming your way shortly. But first, we have some words from the fine folks at Audible.com. Remember Mel Robbins? She is the famous talk show host that ran for a year under syndication by Sony. Well, she's back with a brand new book about how you can get some habits that can make your life even better. It's called The High Five Habits. And you can get that book right now in audio format through Audible.com. Now, Audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment, information, and, of course, inspiration. There's over 200,000 titles to choose from, and you listen on any device, including whatever you're hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, etc. Just sign up at audibletrial.com/televised. You get one free audio book, a one-month trial of the service, great customer service from Audible's parent, Amazon.com, and, yes, health and wellness information can make a big difference in life of you or someone you know. And if you're already an Amazon Prime member, guess what? Two audiobooks for your trial, including one from the growing catalog of Audible Originals. We're talking original audio productions and podcast series, best of Broadway, off-Broadway regional theater, and also great one woman and one man shows. And if you subscribe after your trial, you will save nearly half off your first purchases for the first 4 months of your subscription. How's that for a great deal, especially as the holidays are drawing near? And by the way, Audible.com makes a great gift for you or someone you love any time of the year with the holidays, of course, coming up. So check it all out at audibletrial.com/televised. You'll be glad you did. My next guest is one of the new entrepreneurs getting involved in the world of smart TV sets and smart TV devices. He's got a collection of music video channels all under one roof. That roof is called Audidio. And joining us live right now to talk about it is the founder and chief executive, Nick Sharp. Nick, thank you very much for coming aboard. And Nick should be popping up any second. Let's see what pops. Again, we apologize. For some reason, we are having some connecting issues between my computer screen and our guest. So we apologize for that. Nick, call us back, 646-652-2906. And as soon as we get you back on, we will get you on. So, Nick, make that call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as we get you on my computer screen, we'll get you on. There we go. Okay. So, again, here is the founder and chief executive of Audidio, Nick Sharp. Nick?
Simon.
On in.
Simon, how you doing,
yes,
baby?
You're on. Hello,
how
welcome aboard.
Today?
And Nick, where are you calling from? What city?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Ah, Country Music USA, and Music City, too, for that matter. Talk about Audidio and why you decided to put these unique genres of music videos together.
So one day I was I moved to Nashville, Tennessee from Tampa, Florida. You sound like a New Yorker guy. And
yep.
Basically Tampa Bay, you know, people are always like, hey, Nick, you from New York? I was like, no, I grew up in the other New York, Tampa. And what happened was you sounded like one of my people, so I just wanted to say hello first before we get into all this. So here's the thing, man. One day I moved to Nashville from Tampa Bay because I was a songwriter and I had a publishing deal, so I write songs for record companies and artists and stuff. And one day while I was – and I used to be in a rock band and I've toured and been on my songs have been on MTV, and I was, you know, like on the radio and stuff like that. And so one day, one night, my friends and I were drinking on Broadway in downtown Nashville, and I went home, and I got into the bathtub, and at 3 a.m. drunk, and it just came to me, Audidio. And what Audidio basically is it's 19 live broadcasting television channels, and each channel is a genre of music, and each genre of music is hosted by VJs, like old school MTV and BET and CMT and VH1. They all had VJs. So what happened was I have VJs, these television hosts, that introduce these music videos to people from 8 countries. So we have 19 live streaming television channels. Each channel is a genre of music, and each genre of music is hosted by a VJ that introduces the music videos to you and tells you cool little stuff about artists and what they're doing and, who, you know, what the song's about. And the cool thing is that the other like niche that we have is that we are not just a regular music. Like, it's not just – there's not just famous people. It's a majority of it is independent underground artists, and a lot of these underground artists, they literally have millions of monthly listeners on their Spotify or Apple Music or their YouTube, but like, they're not like famous like Bieber, Justin Bieber, or, you know what I'm saying, or Halsey. They're just underground famous. And so basically it's kind of like MTV was in the 80s and 90s. It's like you had a bunch of underground people that were on the come up, but they just happened to be signed to Sony or Warner Brothers or whatever. And then they got them on MTV, but they were still essentially nobodies and unknowns when even if they were on Warner Brothers or being played on MTV, they were just on the come up. And so that's what Audidio is.
Incidentally, for those of you that don't know the lexicon, DJ stands for video jockey, real human being introducing and saying more about the videos that you hear. And by the way, if you have a question or comment for Nick, give us a call, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. Numbers good anyway. You're calling us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Speaker Tune Radio. No chat room today. We apologize. Apparently there's some sort of glitch that's happening. And hopefully we'll get that fixed by our next episode Friday afternoon. Nick, where can people get? Are you on all smart TV sets and devices, or just some? Where are you at in terms of distribution?
So right now you can get Audidio, and that's A-U, D as in dog, I, D as in dog, I-O, Audidio. And we're available on Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire TV. We're available on smartphones, on the Google Play Store, and on the App Store with iPhones.
Mm-hmm.
So you can basically get it anywhere.
Yeah. And you're ad-supported also. This is free to the viewer.
Mm-hmm. Yep, actually, we haven't even turned on our advertising yet, so it's completely free to the viewer, and you don't even have to watch commercials as of right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely free across the board.
Of all the channels that are available through your service, are you finding that there's one that you may have thought, well, it might not be as popular as others, and it's turned out to be a big surprise in terms of listenership and viewership?
Yeah, you know, we have this one channel. It's called Lo-Fi, and Lo-Fi has really gotten a lot of attention, surprisingly. And it's funny because Lo-Fi is one of my favorite genres of music. And what that is it's called Lo-Fi hip-hop. They call it Lo-Fi for short. It's kind of like – it's really this generation's jazz music, really, dude. It's basically just like – it's like kind of like 90s hip hop beats that are just kind of like, they make them sound really old, and it's just like it's like just all like grimy and grungy, and just like, and they put like record scratching, like, you know, like old school record sounding click, like, you know, and then they play all these pretty like jazz chords, and it's just really like chill music to like study to or listen to like when you're making dinner or whatever. And that's done really exceptionally well on our platform. And it's funny because it's a really underground phenomenon that's been happening for the last 2 years. And there's a channel on YouTube called the Chilled Cow, and the Chilled Cow has like, I think 8 8 million subscribers. Then there's like Lo-Fi Girl, and it's like they've got like 13 million subscribers. So there's an underground market for it, and it's performing like in our like top, out of all 19 channels, it's in our top five. It's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm. We've had over the last 2 years a number of music video services get on smart TV sets and devices. Vivo, which was an internet service, then on YouTube. Now it's pretty much all in on smart TV sets and smart TV devices. We've had others. And one of the things we wonder is, what is the state of music videos now? Because in the 1980s, MTV was like the most arresting television around, because the music video evolved in such a rapid fashion, where you went from just live performance to storylines, to choreography, to big blown numbers, to using animation, computer graphics, unusual camera, and so on and so forth. What is the state of music videos now? Are they becoming experimental? Are they trying not to be just, you know, tried and true performances? What do you think about the scene?
I'll tell you what. What's really interesting about the state of music videos, and you spoke about Vivo. There's so many ways to answer this question. By the way, you're an excellent interviewer. You're very good. You ask really good questions. So first of all, here's a crazy statistic for you. YouTube has over 2 billion monthly listeners, or people that come. There's over 2 billion people that come to YouTube a month to watch only music videos. So how crazy is it that VH1 and BET and MTV and all these people got out of the music video game? Isn't that crazy, right? So, like, right now in 2021, 2 billion people a month, their appetites for music video, like, are getting fed only by YouTube. So the thing is that, like, when you say, like, how are people, like – okay, so the way that people are producing music videos nowadays are really – interesting. And it's our job at Audidio to watch videos every single day. And people are creating, like, you know, using like their iPhones to create the coolest music video content. People are making things that are like super gritty and super like clean and super like there are some music videos that looked like Sony Records or Universal spent $500,000 to produce it, and there are these kids that just don't even have record deals, and it's just, it blows our minds, like how they fund this or how they do this, and blah blah blah. I mean, a lot of people just call in a lot of favors from friends and art departments and colleges, and it's like, man, the technology now is at a point where that you don't even need record companies and big budgets to do what these kids are doing nowadays, bro. It's amazing. So, I mean, I just think that with the times, you know, I'm 42 years old. So in like 1995, I was in a little punk rock band, and, you know, we didn't have the technology to do what these kids do now. I was going to like Kinko's, making like black and white copies to like, you know, make flyers for my band's show and spreading them around in our high school, you know, and now they've got social media and YouTube and 4K cameras and computers that could, you know, power the space shuttle in 1986. It's crazy, you know? So, I mean, I just think that technology is caught up to a place now where anybody can make anything look amazing. And a lot of people don't need record labels anymore, man.
Being the new player in town, Nick, what's it been like to get the attention of not only the stars in your scene to contribute videos, but also to get them on a regular basis and to have the trust to play them through your various channels?
So with Audidio, the way that we do it is we actually seek out people, and we find you. We go out and we look for artists that are excellent and captivating and very, you know, captivating music videos. And so we go out and try to find those people. And sometimes, once in a while, they find us, you know, and through other managers and people like we're playing like the new 98 Degrees video, you know, and it's when I told you what I was trying to tell you earlier is about Audidio is that like yeah, we play famous people, but a majority of it is independent artists and underground artists, because our whole thing is that, you know, there's only like one Justin Bieber, there's one Halsey, there's one like Jay-Z, there's one Kanye. There might be like really essentially like on radio still that are stars, maybe 40 or 50 big names, but they just play over and over and over again, right? On terrestrial radio. But with Audidio, we're playing all these independent and underground artists that are just as good and just as badass as all of these artists, but we're playing more of those artists, right? So it's the new come up. Now, the thing is that what was the question again?
Is getting the trust of these artists who contribute videos on a regular basis.
Oh.
And the video production community.
Right. So, but what we were talking about was, they trust us because we pay them. I mean, they want to be able to be seen. They want their videos to be out there, right? So the thing is that their songs are usually registered with performance rights organizations like ASCAP and BMI and CSAC, right? So we report to those performance rights organizations every quarter and pay out to them so they pay their artists. So, I mean, artists, they don't have to trust us. I mean, it's either their song is going to go sit on YouTube and not, you know, only a certain community is going to actually be able to view them on YouTube, or they can put it on us where another community will view them and they get money. You know, so it's a win-win for everybody, I think. But what was cool about
new music video bundle available on smart TV sets and smart TV devices, and we've got the founder and the head of the service, Nick Sharp, is with us live from Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, USA. If you have a question or comment on our mini mix with Nick, give us a call, 646-652-2906, from wherever you are. And coming up right after we wrap Nick's interview, we've got our classic trivia segment for you. We have a brand-new winner. We'll tell you what that winning answer is. And then we have a brand-new classic trivia question and a new prize for the first time. So stay tuned before we wrap the hour up, because you could be our next classic trivia winner. Nick, one of the newest music video channels you've launched is one devoted to Christian music. And I'm curious to see or hear what's been happening with that, because some people may have an impression of Christian music. And I think a lot of people should remember this is where stars like Amy Grant, Kurt Franklin, the Staple Singers, and others came from. And I've heard contemporary Christian music. I'll tell you, it's not your father's or grandfather's style, if you will.
Right. Right. So basically, you know, I went to Christian school and I am a Christian, and I always tell people I'm not the best Christian, but I am a Christian nonetheless. And so the thing is that I feel that, you know, I believe that everybody should have a voice in America. And I think no matter what religion that you are, that you should be able to have your own music video channel. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to be putting another channel up there that's just for all faiths. And so if you have, you know, if you're a Jewish dude and you're singing or rapping about, you know, stuff or Islamic stuff, like we're going to be actually including everybody. But there's a huge group of, you know, the Christian music industry is a gigantic, gigantic industry with a lot of listeners and a lot of Christ followers. And I wanted to be able to give them their own channel and their own voice. And so that's why we launched the Christian channel last week, and it's doing very well.
What other music genres are you planning to launch channels in with the near future? So that would be, you know, that's the 19 you've currently got now.
Yeah, so basically, brother, we have the only things left that we've really done every genre that we can do. We added the Christian channel and the lo-fi channel and this other channel called Get Some Strange. Get Some Strange is like just really, really, really weird stuff that most people just are just like, what the heck is this stuff? Like, it's very strange, weird stuff. And so, like, what we started off with your regular like pop and rock and metal and all that stuff. And then we just started adding, you know, three new channels in the last month. But after this, we're not going to, other than what we've already discussed, we're not going to add much more. There's one more channel that we're going to add coming up here pretty soon. It's called ASMR. And basically ASMR is, is a channel where people just like listen to sounds. Have you heard about that?
No, I haven't.
It's huge on YouTube. Yeah, it's huge on YouTube. People like literally will girls will scratch the microphone and people listen to it with their headphones, or like spray water on the microphone, or like whisper in the microphone, and then like it's like a huge like sensation on YouTube. And so we're doing our own ASMR channel, that's the next one that we'll be adding here probably in the next 2 weeks. But for that, for right
now,
I mean,
we've really covered all the channels, which involves whether it's Islam or Jewish or other denominations.
Yep, and that's coming up here in the next couple weeks as well.
Have you thought about doing a channel devoted to movie and TV music? You know, I remember back in the 80s when Miami Vice was on, Jan Hammer, who composed a lot of that score, did a video of the Miami Vice theme, and it turned out to be quite well.
Yeah, so now here's the thing. I love that kind of music. The only thing is that Audidio, like our little catchphrase is like Audidio new music videos. So unfortunately, if there's not a music video for it, then we can't really use it because we're really only music videos. The only one channel that's not really music videos is the ASMR channel. But we're literally just trying to stick to people have wanted us to do like TV shows and all this stuff for other things, and like, man, we're just going to stick to music videos right now. I think that's where MTV and VH1 and CMT, like, they all kind of failed everybody is when they started going to different programming, you know. But what's cool about what we're doing, though, honestly, man, is that like we can literally, because we're an app and we're in, you know, like on Roku or whatever, you can flip through the channels and see you can just flip through channels, where CMT and BET and all those companies, they were limited because they were just on like regular linear broadcast television. It was just one channel, you know what I'm saying? Where we're basically a cable network of 19 live streaming television channels. So we could add however many channels we want to, and we might do that in the future, but for right now we're just focusing on music videos.
Audidio and its 19 music video services are now arranged in bundle format on Roku, on other smart TV sets, and smart TV devices. And if it's not on your smart TV set device, chances are it probably will be on soon. For more details about the service online, here's where you go, audidio.com. That's audidio.com. And again, it's available on most smart TV sets and smart devices, others to come soon. Nick Sharp, the founder and chief executive of the service, thank you again very much. Congratulations on how it's done so far. And I'd love to have you back to talk about what future developments your service has in store.
Yeah, and Simon, I really greatly appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and your audience. And I wanted to just really quickly tell everybody, it's Audidio is spelled A-U-D-I-D-I-O, like D as in dog, A-U-D-I-D-I-O, Audidio. And I appreciate your time. Thank you guys so much.
You're very welcome, Nick. Take care. Have a great rest of your Columbus Day and a super week ahead.
Thank you, as you as well. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Nick Sharp, founder and head of Audidio, joining us live from Music City, USA, Nashville, Tennessee. Now time for our classic trivia segment of the week. In case you missed it in the first half hour, we mentioned that our newest winner, first time in several weeks, is Barry Kluger of Scottsdale, Arizona. Here is the winning answer and the question we posed over the last week. Name the 1960s TV lawyer drama starring Emmy winner Carl Betts. That's the person who, before taking on this role, was Donna Reed's husband on the long-running Donna Reed Show on ABC. The answer, Judge for the Defense. It was on ABC Friday nights from 1967 to 69. I was a regular watcher of that show growing up. Marvelous program, one of the best legal dramas on the air, and Betts won an Emmy and a Golden Globe Award for his portrayal of Clinton Judd. The wonderful writers were involved in that show, including Paul Monash, who worked on Peyton Place before Judge for the Defense, which was run by the same studio, 20th Century Fox. So once again, the answer, Judge for the Defense. And Barry Kluger of Scottsdale, Arizona, is going to be getting the I Love Lucy Nixon Match Magnet Set. He's also going to get the Nailed In Cookbook from the popular Netflix competition series, just Emmy nominated, as well as the Starz Hollywood Christmas Special, narrated by Jane Seymour. Okay, brand new question and brand new prize. This time out, we've got the unofficial Hocus Pocus Cookbook. That's the cookbook based on the popular and iconic movie classic from 1993. It's got wonderful recipes, perfect gift for Halloween by Bridget Thornton. Here's the question. One of the most popular variety shows of the 1960s was the Hollywood Palace, It ran on ABC from 1964 to 1970, and every show had a different host. Here's the question. Who hosted the opening and closing episodes of The Hollywood Palace? Who hosted the opening and closing episodes of The Hollywood Palace? One and the same person. If you know the answer, email me, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. That's simonapple04 at yahoo.com. Remember to enclose your name and where you're from. And if you're first with the correct answer, you will win the unofficial Hocus Pocus Cookbook by Bridget Thornton. If we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning, Tuesday morning, on Facebook at Simon Applebaum and on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's UBC Simon TWBT. Remember, in order to win, you got to be in. Let's go for our second weekly winner in a row. And again, congratulations to Barry Kluger of Scottsdale, Arizona. Barry, thanks for playing. We're happy you're our latest winner, and the prizes are on their way to you. Once again, that question, who hosted the opening and closing episodes of ABC's The Hollywood Palace? Opening episode was in September of 1964, closing episode in 1970. So all the very best. Play in for the win, and again, all the very best. Thanks to both of our guests for being with us this Columbus Day 2021 and all of you for tuning in. Remember, coming away on Friday among our guests, we'll have the Chief Executive Officer of the brand new venture, Bandit Productions, who's working on a number of new series already and wants to be a major player in the world of the tube. Bob Sullivan, the Chief Executive Officer, will be with us. We've got some other guests in the works as well. In the meantime, if you came in late on today's program, you want to catch up an episode you missed, it's very simple. Go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. It's blogtalkradio.com/televised. Don't forget to check out our podcast. They're available 24/7 at Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, the iRadio Podcast Network, Verbal, and Reason. Hopefully more to come. By the way, if there's a podcast site you like, it does take our show. Let me know. Drop them a line. Be very nice about it. Let them know you'd like to hear our program and have them communicate with me, and we'll make something happen. Remember, we love hearing from you. What's your thoughts about what you heard today? And what's your thoughts about where TV is at and where it is going? We want to know. So email me, simonapple04 at yahoo.com. Find me on Facebook, communicate on LinkedIn and Twitter as well. We do return your communication within 24 hours, and we appreciate what you have to say because we like to say around here, what you say matters. The views expressed here are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio and other series of this program. Andy Toe is BTR's general manager. Jay Sonnenberg is head of content. Website maintenance provided by PodSite, the Internet's new podcast destination. For more, go to podsite.io. Our web coordinator is guitarist Vakas. Tomorrow Televised is brought to you by Audible.com, the audio marketplace of Amazon.com. Remember, Audible transforms the way you hear the world. For a free audio book or two and much more, it's audibletrial.com/televised. Makes a great gift for you or someone you love, and it's not too early to think about the holidays. They're fast coming up, so check out audibletrial.com/televised. But tomorrow we televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening. Have a fantastic rest of your Columbus Day, Monday, and your week, whatever you're up to. And we'll be back with you on Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. You know where. Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, TuneIn Radio, the iHeartRadio Podcast Network, and our other podcast sites, including Amazon Music and Apple Podcasts. Whatever you're doing between now and then, please make it safe and make it great. And if you haven't been vaccinated, please see your doctor. Check your medical history and records. If you need to, get a second opinion, and then make a great choice. And guess what? We are licking this pandemic. Great to hear that Pfizer's new drug, new pill, is coming on the market. We hope by the end of the year. Merck filed recently, earlier today, for Food and Drug Administration approval. Hopefully it goes through. So keep your fingers crossed. We are licking this pandemic now and forever. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.